Here's a couple of little snippets from the new book, Mad Money. Watch TV, get rich. Investing well isn't easy, but it is possible. My goal in life is to make it easier for you to make money. Picking the right stocks is one of the hardest parts of investing. Since I wrote Real Money, it's gotten harder to be a regular investor. Sounds like a lot of trouble.
Trouble's little, and it's lonesome. You won't find it on any map, but you can take three steps in any direction, and you're there. It's a place to be born. It's a place to live. And it's a place to die and be forgotten. It's a town called Trouble.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for downloading the Mad Money Machine, Show 48. I am Paul Douglas Boyer, and I hope I don't make you sick.
Oh, God, you make me sick. I'm feeling dead now quick. You make me crack that whip. Gonna give this town a sip. Oh, God, you make me sick. I'm feeling dead now quick. You make me crack that whip. Gonna give this town a sip.
Trouble is a lonesome town. Trouble is a lonesome town.
I'm not the one that makes you crack the whip. That's Jim Cramer with all his 1 hour of homework per stock per week that wants you to crack the whip. You've got to leave that town. I'm not the one that makes you crack the whip. In fact, I'm for just the opposite. Investing is easy. Well, relatively easy. It's set it and forget it. Look at the ETF portfolio. Look at the IFA portfolios. You spread your money across all the stocks that you can with a small cap and a value tilt, and you let it roll. You know, Jim Cramer has been saying things like, when you're young, that's the time to take risks because you have your whole life to make the money back. Well, isn't that exactly the opposite of what a lot of people say when they say you should start investing when you're young? Because the compound rate of return is going to grow so much quicker when you start younger. Losing money when you're young is not a smart way to invest. I think it's time to give that town the slip. And speaking of the ETF portfolio, holy cow, can you believe it? It's up 20% so far this year. That's just amazing. Compare that to Phil Town's book, Rule Number One, where he went on and on about how great it would be if you could make 15% a year on trading around the stocks using his technique. And why in the world would you want to trade around stocks like that to get 15% when you can plop your money into these index funds and get 20% and just not have to worry about it? Spend all that time playing Xbox instead or making a podcast that people don't really like anyway. I'm referring, of course, to some of the commenters out at Apple iTunes on this show. I think the couple most recent comments have said 1 star. It's just a variety show. There's not much substance there. Sure, it sounds good, but nothing to see here. Well, you get what you pay for, don't you? And so if you're a new listener to the Mad Money Machine, I want your expectations to be really low as to what you might get on this show. In fact, you're not going to get anything on this show. This show is completely devoid of content. Nothing to see here. Move along. I'm a big fan of American Idol. I'm a big fan of Christmas. Here's Ayla Brown from American Idol Season 5 with Breath of Heaven.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a baby inside, and I only
isn't that something, a Christmas song for all year round? Ayla Brown. You remember Ayla Brown? She was voted off 13th place. I guess she didn't make the top 12. She was the tall girl. She was the college basketball player. And she actually has an album out that came out about a month ago. And they said that she recorded it in 2 weeks, I guess, between basketball seasons or something. But that's quite a song. That's actually not on the album. That's available from PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. You know, it's funny. Every time I approach doing a show, I think, man, I just don't have anything at all to talk about. And then as you get really close to doing the show and I collect all my notes of things I want to talk about, I think, I can't fit it all in. There's just too much stuff. And it's crazy. And I'm telling you, it happens like that every single show. That's why I'm thinking, well, how much longer can I do this? I don't have anything to talk about. And then when I get to the show, it's just that there's all kinds of stuff to talk about. So I just don't think I can say that I'll stop doing a show. On the other hand, I can't say I'm going to keep on doing it forever or for a year or months or whatever. So I don't know. Maybe just keep subscribed, and maybe every couple of weeks, look in your little basket and see if you've got a mad money machine out there or not. Let's see, some little snippets in the news I wanted to talk about. I'm looking forward to seeing this new layout of the Wall Street Journal. They're going to cut off a column, make it shorter. I think my arms won't hurt as much when I try to read it now. And the new CNBC.com, isn't it coincidental? Well, first of all, hey, Kramer's Real Money radio show is gone. And isn't that interesting? I mean, it was almost exactly 1 year ago that he switched from the old network to the CBS Westwood One radio network. And I just wonder if the contract came up and somebody decided on either side of the contract that they didn't want to renew, maybe Kramer. Maybe that's why he held out for the rest of the year. And I wonder what he's really going to do. He talks about he's going to do some videos for thestreet.com. And I mentioned to Frank Barnico that I'd like to see him rework the Mad Money TV show to be more about investing rather than picking stocks. But as we found out through this show, investing is boring. So it might not make for good TV, an hour every single night of the week, would it? You've seen the ads for it. Now I want to talk about it. My little reminder. You've seen the commercial where there's this gray-haired lady. She's out in the parking lot and she's looking around and she can't find her car. And then they swap screens and all of a sudden she's got this thing in her hand and she presses a button and it says parked row 13A or whatever. And so it's this voice recorder that you're supposed to use to remind yourself of all this stuff in your life. They show it stuck to the refrigerator and a guy walks by and presses a button on this thing and the woman's voice says, pick up some milk and some eggs from the grocery store. First of all, what guy is ever going to walk around constantly pressing the button on the refrigerator door to see if there's a message from somebody wanting to pick up milk and eggs? Second of all, and this is most important, what happens if you forget where you put the little reminder? Well, you can buy two of them for $9.99, but shipping and handling? It's $13.98. It seems to me like you could get two of these from the dollar store. Real Money was, a lot of the feedback I got from you guys said you liked listening to Real Money Radio Show. It was calmer, more reasoned, more detailed, more thought out than the circus-like antics on the Mad Money TV show. Well, isn't it interesting that that's the one that went away? Now, I did see a Mad Money episode last week where, you know, Jim's kind of working in some of the topics from the book into the TV show. And so one of the topics in the book is just who exactly is the Mad Money TV show geared towards? And in the book, in the very first chapter in the book called Buying a Stock Mad Money Style Step 1, he goes through this risk profile. And if I didn't know better, I would think that he's thinking about the risk capacity survey almost from IFA. But he talks about the four things you've got to look at before you invest in various stocks. You got to think about your age. How close are you, I guess, to needing to pull out a whole big bunch of money? You need to think about your income level and your wealth level. And you need to think about your personality. And then the last question, he says, is ask about your priorities. He says, are you in the game for the long haul? Do you want stocks that are going to make you money in the next year? Or are you after trades that will make you money in the next week? He says, I try to have something for everybody on the show. So I don't know, this question about age, and you can the business about taking more risk when you're younger. Yeah, I think you can take more risk, but not wild, crazy, speculative gambling risk where the, you know, where the chances of losing all your money are possible. Golly, Ned, you look at the historical returns of something like the IFA Portfolio 100. It's what, 15% a year or something? Why wouldn't you just grab onto that when you're young? Latch on to that. I'll absolutely take 15% a year if I could when I'm young. Isn't that risky enough? But there are quite a few parallels between what Jim Cramer's saying here, that you need to look at your risk capacity, basically, and the IFA risk capacity survey. It's the same sort of questions. Age, income and wealth status, and your knowledge towards stocks and your inclinations. So the other day, my son was busy with pen and paper, and he had these imaginary soccer players, and they were named with letters of the alphabet. He had player S, player T, player R. And then underneath each player, he drew a bar chart of their various skills. And he was trying to construct a team then of all the different players by matching up their skills as best he could. You know, he wanted a good striker put on the team with a good keeper and a good midfielder, and he wanted to mix and match all the various skills together and make a good, solid team. And you know, at the same time he was doing that, I was on my computer trying to figure out which investments that I should put my money in to make up my portfolio. Should I have more international stocks? Should I have more small-cap value stocks? And I realized that he and I are doing exactly the same thing, only on different items. Maybe I should have him help me realign my investing portfolio. TV shows I've been watching. Well, I like Daybreak. I do like the show. I told you how much I like Groundhog Day, the movie. Now, I do like Daybreak, and I think they're being pretty clever with it. I'm eager to see it play out. It was interesting in the most recent episode where he finally told somebody, well, for the second time, he told somebody what was happening, and they were talking about, well, how could this happen? What are the mechanics that could make something like this happen, and why is it only happening to you, and so forth. Thought that was pretty interesting. I've been watching The Biggest Loser. Looking forward to next Wednesday's Biggest Loser show to see the results of these people who've spent 3-6 months losing weight. The guy with, you know, 407 pounds is where he started out. It's going to be fascinating to see where he ends up. Which brings me to this week's Tool in the Crib. We're coming up. Well, no, we're in the thick of holiday eating season. Thanksgiving is come and gone, and the leftovers are still hanging around. Now we're getting ready. We're hitting all the holiday parties. There's going to be unlimited free food, and you're going to eat probably about 5,000 calories a day. So Christmas, you got the New Year's parties, and that brings us to this week's Tool in the Crib. It's a free and simple website that gives you the motivation and support to reach your weight loss and fitness goals. So maybe you're not concerned about losing weight. You just want to stay fit? Well, get yourself a free account at Traineo.com. Traineo.com. Traineo's idea is simple. Join Trainio for free and pick up to four friends or members of your family who will become your Trainio motivators to receive weekly email updates on your progress towards your weight loss and fitness goals. Their easy-to-use software allows you to choose what you'd like Trainio to report to your motivators so they can give you the motivation, support, and accountability you need to achieve your goals. Have you stuck to your diet today? Trainio will give you a daily training diet rating to easily gauge how good you've been. You can visualize your progress. You can keep in touch with your motivators. You can meet others in the Trainio community, like me. And you can get your own personal Trainio.com page. Well, of course, my ID out at Trainio is Mad Money Machine. And I'm trying to figure out how to use it. And I give you the opportunity to go out and take a look, too. That's this week's Tool in the Crib to get you help get you through the holiday season, Trainio. And like other tools I've given you so far, this one's free. All right, let me tell you about a little problem I have. Me and my geniusness, in my investing passion this last couple of years, I went out and I bought some sector-oriented exchange-traded funds. I think I bought one that's a dividend-oriented exchange-traded fund, DVY. I bought one that Jim Cramer recommended on his show one time, the Water Resources ETF or something like that. I have bought IGE, which is like the International Energy ETF, all these sector plays and stuff. Well, now I'm stuck with them because, I mean, they actually have a gain, which is nice, I guess. But I don't really want to be a sector investor anymore. I just want to invest in all stocks. And I'd rather have, if I could have it, I would rather just have 10 investments. 10. Just 10. I think I have probably about 40 or 50 different investments all scattered across, you know, my financial planning software, across different accounts, across different IRAs, across different 401ks, all this nonsense going on everywhere. I would like to simplify. And if I had some advice to somebody that's just starting out on an investment plan, I would say do everything you can to get into something that is simple. You know, probably the very simplest possible plan is to get the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund and then the Vanguard Total International Index Fund. Just buy those two. And then, of course, however many bonds you want. If you wanted to do something a little bit more complicated, then you might want to look at the IFA portfolio and model your investments after what they've done there. Or just do something like this. Just put 40% in large cap, split half growth and half value. Put 10% in small cap stocks, 10% in micro cap stocks, 10% in a REIT fund, 10% in international large, 10% in international small cap, and then 10% in emerging markets, and be done with it. If you just invested in those, what are they? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different asset classes in stocks, and then maybe a couple of bond things, man, it's going to be a whole lot easier for you to track as you get down the road. And making sure that these are ETFs that or mutual funds that have low expenses and are tax managed if they're in a taxable account, it's just going to be so much easier for you in down the road. Well, a few months ago, Jim Cramer said I wouldn't invest in PPH, the pharmaceutical holders. I would invest in Pfizer. How'd that work out for you, Jim? Let's go look at the Portfolio SmackDown page. And at the very bottom of the tables out there, let's see where we are. This was back in 1st of August. He said, instead of investing in the pharmaceutical holders, PPH, which is an ETF of several pharmaceutical companies, I'd invest in Pfizer. Well, Pfizer's down 3.2%. The PPH is up 1.7%. And of course, I would recommend neither one, Pfizer or PPH. I wouldn't want to invest in a particular sector like that. That's active investing when you do that. Just invest in the whole market and forget it. So why is the Mad Money Machine turned into a variety show? Well, that's because investing should be boring. You shouldn't have to pick stocks, pick active sectors, or anything like that. Spread your money across all these investments, forget it, and then you can go on and talk about things like the Xbox! Xbox 360. Been trying to make good use of my HD DVD drive that I got for the Xbox. My Netflix account, I've been renting a couple of HD movies. I'm a big fan of Willy Wonka. I like both the old one and the new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp. And so I rented Willy Wonka, the old version, on HD and popped it in. And it was a waste, a complete waste. We already owned the movie in DVD format. And it really wasn't any better in HD. You could see the grain of the film. Very grainy film, in fact. And there was nothing special. There weren't any extras or anything on it. So I don't know why anyone would buy that. Rented Aeon Flux and fell asleep sort of midway through that one. Wasn't all the most captivating. I kind of enjoyed it. But it wasn't much better than the TV shows I've been watching. You know, Battlestar Galactica and also Heroes. I kind of stopped watching Jericho. Started out, thought that was pretty cool. You know, end of civilization type thing. Big nuclear bombs going off everywhere. And what are these people in this little town going to do? Then it just kind of dissolved into this soap opera type thing of the lives of the people. And who cares about that? Oh, by the way, my library lists Jim Cramer's new book, The Mad Money, in the fiction area. And I thought that was kind of appropriate. Here's a question for you then. You, the active listener of The Mad Money Machine, we're coming up on the end of the year. And yes, The Mad Money Machine show is 1 year old. I started this show, I guess, and I think it was December 17th. And that date is rapidly approaching, so happy anniversary, Mad Money Machine listeners. Well, what are we going to do in 2007? There's a couple of things that are sort of happening now. First of all, we have the Investment Guru Challenge. It's going to wrap up on December 31st. I set that to have a cutoff date, and it will stop on December 31st. It looks like we already have a winner out there, by the way. Way ahead of the rest of the pack. It's interesting to see how many people are losers in that game. It just proves that active trading is not the right way to go. So I'm wondering, should we do the Investment Guru Challenge next year, even knowing that active trading is a waste of time? Or not? Should we stay with simulator.zacks.com, or should we move over to the MarketWatch virtual marketplace platform? And secondly, what about the Portfolio SmackDown? It's kind of a burden, first of all, for me to update the Portfolio SmackDown. At the very beginning, I knew that writing a computer program to make those logs would be the best. And I guess I had to weigh the time it would take to write a computer program and get it right versus the time it takes just to log it manually every day. And I decided that it would be better just to log it manually. But if I do it again next year, I think I'd rather have a computer program automatically pull the stock prices at the end of each day and keep them in a log. But man, that could be a hard program with keeping track of all the dividends and all the trades that we make in there. And to get that right could be quite an effort. second part of that is it really even correct to compare what Jim Cramer is trying to do on Mad Money versus investing in an ETF portfolio? And I'm thinking that it isn't correct. The ETF portfolio is that represents your net worth, the way you would invest your net worth for retirement, for reaching your financial independence, reaching your financial goals, and it's the best way to invest. So comparing Jim Cramer's stock picking thing with investing is just, it's in a sense mixing apples and oranges. And it kind of gives the false impression that Jim's picking of stocks is even a way to invest in the first place. And I don't think it's even in that category of things to do. A third part of it is, since I'm not really following Mad Money all that closely anymore, I don't hang on every word he says to know exactly when to buy and sell the stocks he recommends. So I'm not sure that I would do it justice to keep track of what stocks he's recommending in a portfolio. But it's so much fun. On the other hand, I love looking at these numbers every day and seeing who's winning. And it's really been enlightening, quite frankly, to see how well the ETF portfolio has done through the year 2006. And to try as I absolutely have to pick good stocks from Cramer's picks, to see that thing's only up about 1.5% to 2% this year, it's incredible. Really is eye-opening. So, you know, if you have any feedback about all of this, I would welcome it. And you're going to have to hurry, because the end of the year is coming up, and I'm going to need to make a decision on what to do for 2007. First of all, do we have an Investment Guru Challenge in 2007? Second of all, do we have a Portfolio Smackdown in 2007? And how should it be different? Or how should it be the same? I'd like your thoughts. There's several ways to get your thoughts to me. The simplest be email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. The second easiest is probably just to call my voicemail line on Skype. It's 206-734-4763. Or if you're already a Skype account holder, look up Mad Money Machine. That's my account name in Skype. Or register at the website. If you go to madmoneymachine.com, at the top you can see a link that says register. And that gives you permission to write comments onto the website. And you can write them in the show notes for this show, show 48. That way everybody can see what your suggestion is and people can comment on your suggestion as a community. Oh, and another way to get in touch with me is through my Xbox gamer tag, which is Planet Boyer. And if you own an Xbox 360, then surely you know about the game Gears of War. Well, I finished the game on casual, and it was really a lot of fun. Very, very nice to have a big screen HD TV to view that game. What a treat that was. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. This has been Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes forgetting about your troubles to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next time. Send me your feedback.
Trouble's little, and it's lonesome. You won't find it on any map, but you can take 3 steps in any direction.